ladies and gentlemen, as you see on the screen, we will start off with the first session of the day on openness in cloud, Microsoft Azure. Please welcome our speaker, Janaka Rangaman, technical consultant at Red Dynamics Asia Lanka Private Limited, who is also a Microsoft Certified Training, Microsoft Azure Specialist, and an open source expert.
Okay, good morning everyone. So welcome to the day two of System Center Universe Asia Pacific. I see a nice crowd today. And my session, the first one today we have on this track is gonna be the openness in Azure, how you can move your workloads, open source workloads to Azure, how you can run your virtual machines, your services in Azure. Open source, especially. So with that, let me tell a little bit about myself. My name is Janaka Rangaman, and I'm a technical consultant for Red Dynamics Asia Lanka. Actually, we are a part of Infront Consulting Group in Malaysia. So I do my daily trainings and everything on System Center, Azure, Office 365, but I started my career as a Linux administrator, so I'm quite familiar with Red Hat and all other Linux distributions. So feel free if you need to get any advice on how to plan Linux on Hyper-V, how to use your existing Azure for Linux, stuff like that. So that's about me, and I have a couple of certifications in Red Hat, and I do contribute as a community contributor for the Sri Lanka IT Forum. It's one of the technical communities that we have in Sri Lanka. So let's see what we are going to discuss today about this topic. So first of all, we'll be walking through what are the infrastructure as a service, that means basically VMs, options for Linux that we have in Azure, and then what Azure Linux Agent is, and there'll be two small demonstrations. The very first one would be on Linux virtual machines, and what is this topic so-called Docker? You heard that word before, and Simon also gave a nice introduction about that yesterday. And we'll be running a small application in a Docker container and see how it works actually in Azure. So, why Linux? Please raise hand any person who is in this room has used Linux somewhere in their career, for just testing, anything, anybody? Okay, a lot of people. Okay, why Linux? Now, the ID is just tools. There are so many tools, Microsoft, Cisco, there's a bunch of tools. Why you use it? It is for your business productivity. So in your cases, sometimes you'll need to use your enterprise applications like Oracle, or maybe you want to run something on Apache or Tomcat. So for that reasons, you'll use using Linux, right? And Linux is a first-class citizen in Hyper-V. I have to mention, tell you that. That means you can run almost, every distribution, certified distribution. There are few certified distributions, right, in Hyper-V, and they are fully supported. That means now, if you're an organization that has already invested on Azure or Microsoft Hyper-V, say you want to run a couple of Red Hat servers or CentOS servers. That means you don't have to invest on Red Hat virtualization if you already have Hyper-V, right? Because you have already made an investment on Microsoft, you can use the same investment to run your Linux virtual machines as well. So, if you take what are the options for Linux that is available, now I think most of you may be familiar with Azure, most of you are not, can be, but when you want to create a virtual machine in Azure, right? You get several templates, or you can create your own virtual machine by bringing your own template. So if we talk about these predefined templates, the ones that Azure provides us, there are two types for it. The very first one is Azure Endorsed Linux. That means these distributions has been created by the partners like CentOS, Oracle, and it's certified by Microsoft. Again, there are standard images that Linux-related issues in those images, right, are taken care of by those partners that develop that, and any Azure-related issues are taken care of by Microsoft. And the premium images, I must say, not images, it's actually an image, is only on SUSE-specific version, this one. And in this version, Microsoft takes care about the Linux issues for you, for the customer. So they contact the SUSE support and do the rest for you. And there are, of course, this community and partner-driven images as well, like ClearOS, one of the new distributions that they have. And if you, the other method of putting Linux virtual machines in the cloud is bring your own Linux image. Now, sometimes you need your own maybe customized version of a kernel or custom applications that needs to be on the fly when you turn on the virtual machine. So what you can do is you can create your own virtual machine on premises, right? Put whatever the applications you need. For example, you can put Oracle or you know any other Apache, Tomcat, those kind of applications, whatever application you want. And then you can bring this virtual machine to Azure. Let's see how to do that in a while. And then you can use that template to provision your own virtual machine in Azure. So the steps to do that is very first step is to create your own virtual machine in Hyper-V, right? If you are running on VMware, you can convert that VMDK to the VHD, that's it. And then inside that virtual machine, you are going to install an agent called Microsoft Azure Linux Agent, which is the controller node for the Azure Linux VM. And then you are going to upload it to Azure via PowerShell. So there are some tips that I want to share with you, right, which I face issues with. So the very first tip is to install Linux integration services no matter what distribution you're using. Now, what is integration services? Integration services are the drivers for your virtual devices in virtual machines, right? So most of the Linux distributions today have this integration services built in. That means when you install the virtual machine, right, the integration services are already built in. Okay, you don't have to do anything. It's in the kernel itself. But the older versions may not contain it. As an example, version 5 CentOS, version 5.5. Those needs, those images, you have to specifically install that after you create the virtual machine. Now, one problem with that is if you don't have the integration services installed, the regular network adapters you put in your virtual machines won't work. So in that case, still you need network connectivity, you know, to update the packages and get the this and you know integration services, those stuff. So you need to do some changes in that. So how do I get the network connectivity? You can easily add a legacy network adapter, right? And then once you have done with that, you can take it off and add the regular virtual network adapter. And again, there's a culprit in network in Linux. What? That 70-persistent-net rules file. So this is the file where it contains all the MAC addresses, the hardware IDs related to network adapters. Sometimes, right, if you use dynamic MAC address for your Hyper-V virtual machine, right, it may not work. So my recommendation for you, if you are creating a single virtual machine, use a static MAC address for that virtual machine if it's running on Linux. But sometimes you have this requirement to, you know, create a virtual machine, then you know, clone it and turn it on again, and then use it for you know, another applications. So in that case, again, this problem comes up with this file. The way to eliminate that is you either delete that file in your clone, or there's a file attribute called -i or immutable attribute, same like a Windows file attribute. You can take that off. That is the correct way of doing that. But to verify yourself, you can just delete the file and remove. You can remove that attribute and delete the file if you're cloning that virtual machine. Now, these are some of the Linux distributions in which Linux integration services are available. As you can see, some of the CentOS and Red Hat Enterprise Linux versions does not have integration services built in, so you'll have to install that manually. So anything up after 6.3 has this Linux integration services built in. And the other thing is, you know that Red Hat 7 is released. It's kind of a different kernel, kind of different daemons, kind of different services running on. So in that case, that version is also supported in Azure and supported for monitoring in SCOM. So Microsoft, us, we support the latest one with Red Hat, Oracle, and SUSE, and Ubuntu, of course. Now, what is Azure Linux Agent? Now, think it as the middleman. So in every virtual machine you run in Azure, there's something called a Linux agent that takes care of the, you know, backend provisioning, right? This is the link between the Azure Fabric, that is the Azure Hyper-V and those setup, and the virtual machine itself. So what does it do? It does the kernel functions, it manages the networking, right? And you know that the TTY0 output, the serial output, that redirection also can be done by using this Linux agent. And special thing, one of the demonstrations I'm going to show you is VM extensions. VM extensions is something, it's like a little bit of add-on you install, right? Using those add-ons, you can extend the functionality of virtual machines the way you want it. There are like three add-ons right now available. There will be more in the next quarter. So we'll discuss what those VM extensions in the next slide. And remember, for these VM extensions to work, the Linux agent should be there. And remember, when you're creating a virtual machine from your own VHD, that means you are bringing your own virtual machine hard disk to Azure, Linux Azure agent is a must. You can't provision a Linux virtual machine from your own image without this agent. It won't simply upload. It'll first check whether this agent is present, or otherwise it won't work. But if you're creating from the gallery, you have the option to install it or take it off. You can later install it. So what are these VM extensions? As I mentioned, there are currently three extensions available. The very first one is custom script, where you can use an Azure storage account to store your scripts, not only PowerShell, Shell, Bash, Perl, Python, anything that works with Linux. And from there, you can directly run those scripts. That is one extension. The other extension, the one we are going to see today, is VM access, where think you forgot your administrator password, right? Of course, you know, this other tip is, when you create a virtual machine in Azure, you don't get root access. You're getting a super user account that is in sudoers list, okay? What happens if you don't remember the account name or the password? And maybe you want to make sure whether the port 22 is open, SSH is running, because for Linux, it's all about shell. Nobody wants to remote in unless if it's a GUI. So you are always using command line. So you want to make sure that SSH is working. So for that, you have this VM access extension. The other extension, one of the interesting one, is OS patching, which you can use to automate your patch schedule for your Linux virtual machine. So now, we discussed some tips. Now let's see how we configure your VM for Azure. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate this one, how we do this one, how do we create a virtual machine in Hyper-V. Those topics, I think, already covered by other speakers. I'll share you the steps on how to do this one and demonstrate you how do we use this VM extensions. Okay. So first thing, you prepare your virtual machine. I'm going to discuss the step for that for you. And for any virtual machine, you know you need to have a storage account in Azure to store that, right? And then you connect to Azure using Azure PowerShell, using some commands. And finally, you upload that image to Azure. Now, when you are uploading that image to Azure, there are some considerations. Azure is running on Windows Server 2012, so that means you can only use VHD. So make sure your hard disk, virtual hard disk, is VHD. And always use standard partitions rather than LVM. LVM is Logical Volume Management. That's a feature in Linux, right? If you just press next install in any Linux distribution, it'll definitely create LVMs for partitions. So do your own partitioning scheme, right? And make sure it's only standard partitions. And do not create the swap space in OS disk. You may notice when you proceed without swap in your partition table, when you install the Linux machine, it'll say, hey, no swap. This might be an issue. Is it okay? You say okay. You know why? Because when you upload this image with Azure Linux Agent, Linux Agent will take care of the swap. It will create that in the backend, right? Because you are just taking a smaller VHD, so you can extend the size the way you want to provision later. But the swap space always taken care of by the Linux Agent. And make sure SSH server is installed and configured to start on boot. Usually, this daemon, SSHD, is configured by default to run at the startup. So there's no issue with that. So again, you have to install the Azure Linux Agent and deprovision the VM. What is deprovisioning? Now, how many of you know about sysprep? Okay, sysprep, what you do is, you generalize the virtual machines. You take off whatever the custom properties that are in that virtual machine, right? And you make it a more generalized template. So you take off the name, networks, those stuff. So here in Linux, I think I have a related, in the related content section on how to do that one. So what you do is, you take off the host name, you take off the device IDs, like UUID of the networking adapter, right? And make it to boot into DHCP. There are some entities that you need to take off. And again, you are going to delete that 70-persistent-netrules file, which is containing the hardware IDs. So after that, you do the deprovisioning. You can install the Azure Linux Agent and then do the deprovisioning. And the final step is to use this PowerShell command, is add Azure VHD. If anybody wants to know more about what this commandlet does, right, you can do a Bing just using this keyword, and you will get all the syntax on how to do that, and even related articles on to create a Linux virtual machine. I think in my slides, I have a slide where I have put all this content, the steps. So there will be a demonstration on how to deploy Linux virtual machine into Azure. So let me switch into my screen and show you how I'm going to reset my password for one of the virtual machines that is running on Azure. Okay, as you can see, I have two Linux virtual machines running on. This one, SCUFGTPW01. Think for a second that I don't remember the password of this virtual machine, okay? So what I can do is, now this virtual machine, I have already installed the Linux Linux agent. So how do we do that is, when you create the virtual machine, I'm going to create one from the gallery. So if I move into the gallery, I have Ubuntu, this version, and I give it a random name. And here you can give a SSH key or you can select a password. So I'm going to select password here. Okay. So the next step, you create the cloud service name, something like that. If you have a storage account, you can select that, or I'm going to create use a new one here. This is where I install the VM agent, Linux VM agent, if you are creating the virtual machine from the gallery. Okay? So it's already installed in my virtual machine, this one. So what I'm going to do is I'm trying to reset the administrator password for the account that I have through PowerShell if I forget that. So this is a sample script on how to do that. Now here, what it does is it gets the virtual machine and the service cloud service name, passing on the username and the password that you want to reset, right? And then it'll inject that through the VM access for Linux extension using the VM agent. So the very first thing I'm going to verify is whether I'm allowed to run scripts. So I'm going to see whether it's done. So get execution policy. Okay, it's unrestricted. Let's see whether I have any Azure account here. Okay, I have an Azure account running. So all I have to do is to run this script. So when I press this one, it'll take some time, right? And as you can see, okay. And as you can see here, in the last section, there's something called Update Azure VM. Now, let me highlight this one. This part, what it does is, once everything over, it actually reboots the virtual machine, right? So you want to make sure, if you are doing that, you'll be rebooting the virtual machine, like a soft reboot, not like turning it off. You are rebooting it from inside the operating system. Okay, so let's give it some time to finish, because actually it takes some time to reboot and then you'll get a success message. I think here you'll get a warning saying on reference list null. Actually, it's because of one of these version mismatch, right? There are some versions that are certified to run on each Linux distribution. Since so many distributions are coming on, we have a generic version. So that's why we are getting that warning, but that's nothing to worry. So let's park this a bit and move in with the slide deck, and later, okay, it's done. Now, I have resetted my virtual machine password to Redynamics 123. Now, I'm going to turn into my SSH session, try to use my old password and log in. But it'll take a 1 or 2 minutes, because in my SSH client, I already have a SSH certificate installed, which is a cache. So I need to refresh that in order for this to work. So let's give it a minute and try whether my old password is working or this one is working. I think we should be able to check it now. So you can see this FGT01. Let's see. Okay, it says access is denied. I use my old password. So what is the new password we had here? It's Redynamics 123. Let's try that one. Okay, success. So same like this, there are some extensions, same script for this, for reconfiguring the SSH server, and you know, adding a user account. Those tasks are possible with this extension. The first part of the script is similar. Now, if you're interested in these scripts, right, it's already available in the Azure blog. You can see that it's nothing that I have written. It's something that Microsoft came up with. You can I have those content in my slide deck, so you can see that. So that's how you use VM extensions to extend the capabilities of your Azure Linux VM. So let's move out with the topic now. We have seen how we deploy the Linux virtual machines, reset the admin password using the VM extensions. Let's move with Docker. Okay, you can see a nice whale with containers. Now, what is Docker? What is containers? Why do you use containers? You want to ship something to Alaska. You want to ship something to Africa. How do you do that? Say, if you are a vendor, you have some bulky goods. You put all that in a big container and put it in a ship where they land in that port, destination port, and they unload that container and they use that as it is. Same concept. Containers are not virtual machines. So containers virtualizes the operating system. Think it like this. You have a machine, physical or virtual machine that's running. Inside that, you have several buckets. So inside these buckets, you are running your applications. That is the simplest explanation. But you are not using any virtual machine to run those applications. Now, hypervisors, that means the ones that are the base for the virtual machines, abstract the operating system from hardware. So it abstracted the operating systems, present virtual hardware, and has different segments to run it. But containers, they abstract the application itself. How many of you has used something called portableapps.com to take your Adobe PDF? Most system administrator would do, right? There you don't install anything, you just take the portable application. So once you create an application with a container, your application is portable. I'll tell you some interesting news in a later slide. So let's move on. And the other important thing is, now, hypervisors consume storages, right? You need VHDs for each virtual machine. But here in containers, when you install the container engine, right, you are using a single space, single folder. Inside that, you have your old containers. Okay. The idea behind this is your development team develops an application here in Singapore, put it to a container, build it, upload it to a container repository. So your QA team back in America can download that application, right, and run it regardless of the platform. So this is a nice explanation on how it differs, right? As you can see, virtual machines has their own OSs, their own binaries and own libraries, and it can run applications separately. But in a container, specifically we are talking about the Docker containers, you have the Docker daemon or the container process, which takes care of handling the packages. Inside that, you have several applications running. If required, it will share the binaries, libraries, so on and so forth. Now, this is a little bit of a terminology for you to read. What is with Docker? Actually, Docker is right now available with Linux. Right, the demonstration I'm going to show you, it's actually running on a Linux virtual machine. So Docker client is the interface you use to connect to your Docker engine. Docker daemon, you know what a daemon is. It's actually a process. It's the central process that controls everything. Docker Hub is where you put your builded images, right? The central repository. And containers are the buckets you carry your applications. Images are the ones you deploy. That's read-only, so anybody can build it and test it. And file is how you automate that image creation. Now, the interesting news. As Simon yesterday already told you, containers will be supported in the Windows Server vNext. What does that mean for us? Your developer from India builds an application RPM. Okay? How you run it in Windows? Up to now, you will have to use a virtual machine. But in future, when the vNext is finalized, you will have the capability to deploy build your application in Linux and deploy that in Windows. So that is the dream of every developer. Regardless of the platform, application can run. This differs from application virtualization, right? This is simply, you put something into a bucket, take something, take that thing to somewhere else, you take it out and use it. Simple. So, what are the advantages of that? So, if you take this one, now, if you are coming from a software background, you know the software process, the agile process, where you create one release and test it, build it, deploy it, and move it to the next version. Now, for that, you have a QA environment, you have a development environment, you have a staging, production, and again, maybe a post-production environment to test the bugs in the production. So inside that, you have to maintain several environments with the exact same specs. Here, regardless of the environment you have, the QA guys can test this application on their own laptop using containers. So that's the idea behind this containers. And it's lightweight virtualization, right? Not OS virtualization, I would say kernel virtualization. And you can use your good old hardware. You don't need specific hardware. And you can easily ship. You can put your application binaries to GitHub or any other repository and let your programmers to access that one. So let's see how do we deploy a Docker host in Azure. So I have already created one Docker host. Let's see how we deploy a simple application to that. Okay, so here I have a virtual machine running Docker. So how do you add that extension is you go to the preview portal. Actually, if you want to create it using a GUI, you have to go to the preview portal. This is not production ready yet. It's still in preview. So when you're going to create a new virtual machine, let me show you. If I go to virtual machines, okay. If I go to this virtual machine, this is a Ubuntu virtual machine. It doesn't have any container. Extension install. If you go to extensions, this is the VM Access extension that was installed. Here, you can see, you can click Docker. There are some other extensions like Chef and Puppet that I'm not going to discuss today. Or when you create the virtual machine using this portal, there's an option checkbox for you to click to install. To install an extension. Or what you can do is, when you create a new virtual machine, that's the way I did it, actually. You can select this image. This is pre-built with Docker and developed by Canonical, plus our Microsoft Open technology. So Docker is already inside that one. So only thing you have to do is to deploy this from this image. So for the testing purpose, I use this one. Let's see whether we can deploy a simple ASP.NET application to Docker. So this is my environment. Okay. So the first step is to get the application I have. So for that, I have this application in GitHub. So I'm going to clone this one to my Docker machine. So let me check whether Docker is running. Yes. And Docker is running. And GitHub is a repository system, as you may have already know. So if you go to that, it's already there. So only thing I have to do is the clone the repository that I need to get. So So it will take some time to clone this repository, and then now I'm going to that directory where that I have cloned this image. If you go inside that, you can see there's something called Docker file, which is the configuration file that you're going to build. And then it has the project file. So the next step would be to build that image. So what you mean here by my app is, this is just a tag I give. It's just a name to, you know the versioning or the tagging you do for your releases. Same concept. Okay. So it'll take some time for this to complete. And since this is a web application, the other thing you want to know is, right, even though we build this application without port 80 being opened, this won't work. So what, once this is finished, what you have to do is, I have already done that one. If I go to my virtual machine Docker and endpoints, you can see I have already opened the port 80 for this to be a web server. So the difference here is, now this application is not installed inside Apache, IIS, anything. This is running on a container. So inside this image, there's no Apache, there's no IIS. This will be the basic ASP.NET site, maybe a Hello World. I haven't seen that one in a while. And here, the container will serve as the web server. So think of an application you have developed using Python or any other language that is certified run on Apache. If you can make that run on a container, that means when version next of Windows with containers comes, or the support for native containers, you can that run that same application without any issue. Okay. So it'll do the changes for the packages, and it'll install the dependencies and whatnot to be needed. So let's wait till that finishes. And once this is finished, same like you build your application in Visual Studio, the build part you have done, then you have to start your container and run that application. So here you can see the one of the, there's a port number. This is actually a virtual port inside the container, which will map to port 80, the backend. Okay? So let's wait for a while for this to complete. Actually, this image is quite large, around 200 meg, so it'll take around 10 minutes time for this to finish. And after that, when I go to, when I use this DNS name, su.docker01.cloudapp.net, and paste it inside a browser, I'm getting an ASP.NET application running. Now, here, I have remote into the virtual machine using SSH, right? Now, there's the Docker client for Windows be underdeveloped. I think Mark Rusnovich has demonstrated that one on TechEd, which is not yet available. And again, there's something called boot to Docker, which will install VirtualBox and create a small Linux virtual machine. Inside that, the Docker client is running. Or you have the Docker CLI for Windows, right? Where you can, you know, list the containers and all, but it's actually premature. You can't build the application like this. So for this demonstration, I use the native client that is inside my virtual machine. Okay. Now you can see the packages it's building actually ASP.NET. So you know that the web application that will be there is an ASP.NET one. You remember that I told you to create a virtual machine, your own virtual machine on premises and bring it to the cloud. So when you want to deploy something from image, right? When you go to the gallery, you have My Images section. Right now, there's nothing. When you upload your VHD, the generalized VHD, if it's a Windows one, you sysprep it and upload. If it's a Linux one, you install the Azure agent, you generalize it, deprovision it, upload. It'll be there. So whatever the applications that you installed inside that virtual machine will be available on the fly when you turn that on. So that is for easier deployment. Okay. Build is completed. Let's hit it then. Now, only thing we have to do is to run this container. Okay, it's running. Now let's see whether this actually works. This application is not running in IIS. It's not running in Apache. It's running inside a Linux container. So this is the future we are looking for. So that concludes the demonstration I have. And yes, there are some related content for that. You might need to take a photo of this, or when you want to download the slides, I think slide will be available. And these stuff are already available in Microsoft Virtual Academy. There's a great course about Linux VMs that is released sometime earlier. And there's a nice Docker tutorial where you can go to this link, and there's a nice command line, and you can learn all these Docker commands, try to build some sample application. And what about these VM extensions and all? You can see that. And as usual, time for any questions. If you don't have any question right now, I will be outside. And here's my email address, my Twitter account, my Facebook. You can drop me an email, tweet it, or Facebook message anytime. Anything regarding to Azure or Linux or System Center, you can just come to me. All right, don't forget to fill in your evaluations, because you are entitled for a lucky draw after this. And please hang out for the networking sessions, the cocktail sessions afterwards of the event. And thank you for attending my session, and we'll see you again next year. Thank you.